So I'll get to that in just a second. It's time to talk a bit of cricket now, though, with Merv Hughes, who joins us on the line, legendary Aussie Quick. Merv, good morning to you.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we?
We're going We're going a lot better than the quarantine tennis players at the moment, that's for sure.
Struggle, isn't it?
Oh, tell you what, I think it actually shows how good India have been through. I know we had a few troubles with them, but in terms of overall spending an entire summer away from home, they're going to be away for a long time through the year, all these cricket players from around the world. It's a real credit to the cricket fraternity as a whole to get this series done and dusted.
I suppose the big thing about that is that they came in, it's 3 months ago now, isn't it? And they had time to quarantine then, and there was a few hiccups along the way, but ultimately they've run it really well. And when you're flying guys in from all over the world, I suppose that's the risk you're going to have to take with the tennis, isn't it?
Yeah, and all these T20 competitions around the world as well are going to be faced with similar circumstances with people flying in from all over the world. But the fast bowlers yesterday, Merv, great to have you on with such experience. Did they get their length wrong yesterday in terms of bowling at those tail enders? And should Australia have cleaned up India a lot earlier than what they did?
Oh, mate, you can argue both ways. The thing is that as the test stands now, with two extended days to go, don't forget that they're going to play up extra time. So I think there's an extra session to be played. Who would you rather be, India or Australia? Australia's got a 33-run lead. They're none for 21, they're none for 54 at the moment, virtually. So of the Australians, I thought they bowled really well and a pair got away from Washington and Tharkar got away from them, 62, 67 respectively, with a partnership of 120 for the seventh wicket. And I suppose when you got a side in that much trouble, you're just thinking that, yes, we should run through them. But ultimately, heavy workload in Sydney, two new players they wouldn't have had plans for. So they can fully understand it. And yeah, at times, if you're going to be super critical, we could probably say that they didn't really go after them hard enough. I reckon they bowled too conservatively at times in that partnership, and when they started to go short and upset the pair, that's when they got the wicket.
Yeah, sure did, didn't it, Merv? How tough and how delicate a decision is it for Tim Payne in terms of that declaration and when it comes to allow yourself enough time to get the win, given there's some rain forecast on both days?
Yeah, well, there's 60% chance today and 80% chance tomorrow. But that's got to go to the back of your mind. You can't sit there and think, well, we've got to declare in case it rains, and then it doesn't rain and you look like a bit of a dill and you get criticised for that. So for the Australians today, if they bat well, they could declare around T just after T if there's no real loss. And we know the showers up in Sydney, when they talk about showers, it normally sweeps through. It doesn't hang around. So they have big, heavy showers. You might lose an hour or so, but hopefully there won't be too much time lost. And as a player, you can't think about that. You just got to think about the game. So for the Australians, I reckon they'd be looking to bat till about T, and a lot of people will say, well, that didn't work in Sydney. For the Australian bowlers, I don't reckon they've had that much luck. They had a lot of luck in Adelaide, maybe bowled them out to 30-odd, but a combination of not having that much luck and not holding catches, and that's really un-Australian for this Australian team. So hopefully they'll get a little bit of luck in the second innings and the boys will hold the catches.
Tell us about the decision around the declaration as well. Who makes that? Is it entirely Tim Payne and maybe the vice-captain of the Aussie cricket team? Or is that shifted to where Justin Langer would almost have all the input now in consultation with Tim Payne?
Well, they'd sit there and talk about it. Tim Payne would have his idea. He'd talk to Smith and Warner. He'd talk to Justin Langer about it. There's no doubt about that. And the good thing about it, the captain will probably be in the rooms. They'll have a target, and they might even have an allocated time. So when the declaration's coming up, you'll know. You'll just see a little bit more urgency in the Australian batting. But the first hour, the first session today, will just go as normal. Then you should see Australia start to push it after lunch. And then when a declaration is near, there'll be blokes just batting like it's 2020.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Cameron Green hopefully teeing off like he did in the last test match. Yeah, which was fantastic.
Yeah. He's got a couple of gears, hasn't he? He just batted along, and all of a sudden you've got a sense of a declaration because he hit 4-6 about 10 balls.
Yes.
went from about 40 to 80 in no time.
On that as well, how important is it for Cameron Green, as a number six batsman, to actually have those different gears to go to? I mean, that's a huge asset that he's got.
Oh, yeah, fantastic. There's no doubt about that. A young man, he looks pretty unfazed, pretty comfortable at this level, doesn't he? But for Australia to do really well, I'd prefer Cameron Green, as good as he is, not to bat today. If Warner can bat for a bulk of the time, we're going to get runs. And you know, he scored 20 off about 21, 22 balls last night, showed his intent, didn't he? Just came out, hit a couple of boundaries, and there was no real rush or concern from him. He's just got to bat normal, and then Marnus Smith, we know he can go through the gears. And then Matthew Wade, he's a good sort of white ball player. So if those guys do the job, then Cameron Green may well not have to bat.
Yeah, that would be the ideal scenario. Big day today for Marcus Harris. He's 1 from 14. How important is this innings to prolong his stay in the Test squad at the moment, with obviously Will Pukowski hot on his heels once he's fit again?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. He's got to perform today. If he doesn't perform today, they've got a fair break till the next test. You'd think that Will Pukowski would be fit and right for that. He's got to make runs and put pressure back onto the selectors and give them a reason to pick him. That's pretty soft dismissal in that first innings, wasn't it? There's no real need for him to do anything different. He's just got to bat. And if he can bat in partnership with Warner, just while the strike over, give Warner the strike, he's done his job.
Yeah, Crash Craddock is of the opinion that it's not just Marcus Harris whose career's on the line, in a sense, over the next couple of days. Is that unfair, do you think, Merv? How many wholesale changes do you think we'll have in this side going forward to the Ashes the next summer?
Oh, mate, there won't be wholesale changes, no. Will there?
Not many, would you? It wouldn't be many, but there'd be a few.
You've got to think the bowling attack is pretty good.
Yep.
The spin bowlers, so you've got the three fast bowlers, and you've got backup there.
What about the batting?
You've got the spin bowler. I'll get to that. Nathan Lyon, who's you're not going to go past him. Probably the question is how long Tim Payne continues.
Mm.
So you may have to find a keeper and a captain. And then the batting, right from the start, we'd always worried about the two spots, wasn't it? So that number five spot. I think Cameron Green was always going to come in and bat in that number six spot, and he seems to have found his footing there. So Matthew Wade at number five and Harris as the opener. You would think Davey Warner would be there, Labuschagne and Smith. So there's really only two spots to be looking at, and those guys have got to give the selectors a reason not to drop them. At the moment, they're giving them every reason to drop them.
Yeah. Merv, we've had a number of SMSs since you were on about the art of fast bowling, the art of swing bowling as well.
You're talking to the wrong bloke there.
Well, you're a fast bowler. At least you can give us a bit of an insight to the fast bowling. The lack of reverse for Australia, is it something that is still... we're still behind in compared to the rest of the world, or what do you think the reason behind that is?
It's an interesting one. The ball really hasn't seemed to swing for us this year, even new ball. So Mitch Stark is predominantly the swing bowler in the Australian team, and he's had a few problems moving the new ball in particular. And when the ball tends to reverse swing, he's the man that gets it done. So there hasn't been too much swing, and we compare him to what India does, and they're swinging the ball. So I'm not sure what the reason there is, but they did an experiment, or they came up with this theory a couple of years ago. When I say a couple of years ago, it'd be 20, 25 years ago, that if you're... Troy Cooley did it, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
If you're bowling between the speeds of, I think it was something like about 78 miles an hour and 83 miles an hour, the ball's not going to swing. For some reason, the ball doesn't swing, and that's basically where the Australians bowl. Now, on a good day, Mitch Stark gets above that, and the ball swings, but at the moment, they all seem to be bowling around that pace. And of Hazelwood and Pat Cummins, they're not real big swingers of the ball. They tend to hit the wicket and do a little bit more off the seam. But it's a little bit of a concern that Mitch Stark. Now, and like I said, when he's fresh, he's bowling a little bit faster than the ball swings, but he might be in that category where he's just bowling at those speeds where the ball doesn't swing. Now, for what reason that ball doesn't swing in that speed zone, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a mystery for us for a number of years now. Merv, thanks so much for your time, as always, on RSN 927. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the next 2 days of Test cricket. It's going to be fantastic. Okay. Finish.
We hope so. And just before I go, boys, going to send a shout-out to Frankie Alessio down at Bairnsdale, the best brim fisherman in the world.
G'day, Frankie.
Fantastic.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.